Welcome to In the Studio with a 21st Century Perspective on History's Greatest Rock Albums.
Excuse me.
You're welcome.
Guitar up.
One,
turn
two,
that guitar
three.
I'm Redbeard, and today in the studio, we go out on dawn patrol, experience midnight madness, and grant seven wishes for the best of Night Ranger.
Don't tell me you love me. Don't tell me you love me. Don't tell me I don't wanna love.
When the 80s hit, you had to be a great looking guy for TV. I mean, it was like you had to be an actor almost. I mean, everything, most of these videos turned into like we were actors, and I think we were fortunate that we were able to highlight our positives and to accentuate the things that would work and exploit them. But you know what, it had a lot to do with the fact that I'm such a Beatles fan. You know, I spent my life, you know, watching Hard Day's Night and Help about 85 million times, right? And Kelly Keggy from Night Ranger is the same way. And so in a lot of respects, we kind of like said, oh, this is great. We'll be like Help. We'll be like A Hard Day's Night.
Motoring, watch a price for flight. In finding this to ride, you'll be all right tonight.
When we came in to cut this new album, we had two what we felt were really great songs. Sister Christy, which we renamed Christian because Kelly finally wrote the words down for us, and he's like, Sister Christy, and we're like, I thought he was singing all along Sister Christian. Hey, this is Jack Blades of Night Ranger in the studio for the best of Night Ranger.
When MTV debuted in America in the fall of 1982, 90% of the videos were of English and Australian bands due to European television playing rock and roll videos since the 1950s. Night Ranger was one of the first American bands to launch simultaneously in the video era and radio age. I remember the first time I saw Night Ranger perform on television as clearly as I remember the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. Night Ranger formed around former Montrose keyboard player Alan Fitzgerald, guitarist Jeff Watson, and the nucleus of the band Rubicon, that is, singing drummer Kelly Keggy, guitarist Brad Gillis, and singer-songwriter-bass player Jack Blades. So when the remnants of Rubicon merged with veteran Alan Fitzgerald and newcomer Jeff Watson to release Night Ranger's debut called Dawn Patrol in 1982, they needed some good fortune and good timing. Here's Jack Blades with me in the studio.
That was an amazing thing that we film our video for Don't Tell Me You Love Me. We made that video for $10,000. A buddy of mine borrowed all the gear from the UCLA Film School, got all his buddies, total guerrilla style making of a video. You know, I mean, we just cut this thing. And that was when this brand new thing called MTV was just coming out. And I think the only thing that was on it was, I think the first video they played was Video Killed the Radio Star, which I think is pretty apropos, but that and a lot of Duran Duran stuff. And then suddenly there's this Night Ranger, these guys on a train track singing, Don't Tell Me You Love Me. And man, it's like, it was wild because, first of all, we're this young band. And then we went on tour. Our first tour was with Kiss, opening the shows with Kiss. And MTV was pounding the Don't Tell Me You Love Me video. I mean, like 5, 6, 7, 8 times a day. And suddenly we'd walk into a town like in Iowa somewhere, like, you know, Des Moines, Iowa. And everybody, like, we walked down, we were like TV stars. It would like be being Everybody Loves Raymond or something. And I mean, everybody recognized us. And it was the constant pounding of that MTV. It launched us immediately. Like, there wasn't any, well, we'll build in this part of the country, in that part of the country. Man, everybody was like, what is this thing on TV? So everywhere in the country, they were seeing Night Ranger, Don't Tell Me You Love Me, and they loved it, and boom, the next thing you know, everywhere we went, people, you know, were freaking out.
The way you move.
That's Night Ranger, Don't Tell Me You Love Me, from their 1982 album debut called Dawn Patrol. By early 82, Night Ranger had a record deal with a small label called Boardwalk Records and a true believer named Bruce Bird to back the band. Night Ranger's video, Friendly Good Looks, matched perfectly with their big hooks in the music. Particularly ironic since only a few years earlier, Jack Blades had auditioned for Sly Stone's band, looking like an extra from That 70s Show.
Jerry said, Sly wants to meet you at his house. I'm like, okay. So I'm this 20-year-old kid, right, from Southern California. I was a white, yeah, I was very white back then. It was more like platform, crepe platform shoes, right. bell-bottom blue jeans, a red and white striped shirt with red suspenders, and big Elton John glasses. That was me. We went to this big, huge mansion in Novato, California. And man, this was like the mid-70s. Forget Boogie Nights. Boogie Nights had nothing on this pad, man. I mean, the scene that was going down in this place was, there were like 50, 60 people just partying all the time, and craziness, and people dancing, and weirdness, and like Fellini-style stuff going on, man. I'm telling you, it was just bizarre. And so I come in there, and then they get everybody in this huge, huge, big living room, right? This gigantic living room. And then suddenly, everybody stops, and there's a hush in the room. And Sly is descending the stairway with two girls on each side. He sits down with these girls, and they're all like hanging all over him, half naked. It was wild, man. And then he kind of looks over at Jerry. And Jerry looks at me and he goes, go play. I'm like, what do you mean, play? Yeah, Jerry said, go play. And I'm like, there's nothing here. So they roll a twin reverb in the middle of the room with these like 60 people like lined up on all the sides of the room with Sly in there. And they grab a cord, get my bass, and they plug it in, and he says, play. And I start just like, start playing. And everybody, nobody knows what to do. Everybody in the room is looking at Sly, like, do we like this or we don't like this? Everybody is waiting for Sly to start. Now, all of a sudden, I'm playing, and Sly's looking sideways to the girls and stuff. All of a sudden, he starts looking at me. And he starts nodding his head up and down. He starts doing that. 60 people in the room all start like dancing with their arms up in the air. Everybody like moving around and swinging. Sly leans over to a roadie. A roadie runs out, and you know, two roadies are like scrambling around. All of a sudden, they come in with a Hohner D6 clavinet, grab another amp, roll it up. All of a sudden, there I am playing this bass part, and Sly starts slapping that clavinet, man, like he does, like, and so we start this thing. So here's Sly and me just jamming away with all these people around us just dancing and writhing and just these half naked bodies. It was insane. And then we did this for about like a half hour, and then everything just stopped, and Sly gets up, nods his head, and Jerry goes, come on, let's go. And I'm like, hey, man, you know, this is kind of fun. What do you want to do now? And Jerry grabs me by the collar and goes, let's go now. Now, let's go now. Get out of here. And he just grabs me and he pulls me out of the place. I'm not kidding you. That night I was in the record plant recording with him. So that's my Sly and the Family Stone story.
Rangers' Sing Me Away from their debut album in 1982 called Dawn Patrol, which peaked at number 38 nationally. And at rock radio, the song Don't Tell Me You Love Me had gone top five. MTV had pounded the video repeatedly, but the dream was about to turn nightmarish for Night Ranger. Here's Jack Blades in the studio.
Well, we were just flying. We were on our way, and the only reason those numbers stopped where they were is because Boardwalk Records went belly up. I mean, we just like that can put the damper on the fun, believe me. I mean, but we didn't even think about it. We just said, look, let's just get right back in and make another record. And right around that time, you know, 1982, and sort of everybody was saying rock and roll was dead because what was coming, you know, the popular things, you know, the Cars, Blondie, Haircut 100, Flock of Seagulls, Boy George, The Cure, you know, things like that. And so people were saying, oh, if you're a rock band, you know, rock is dead. But everywhere we went, and we were on tour with Hagar, everywhere we went, it was like people were screaming and yelling, I mean, rocking and rolling and just, you know, loving every minute of it and having a great time. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I think you can still rock in America. I don't know what these people are talking about. So I can remember sitting in Springfield, Illinois on a day off, and I wrote the tune You Can Still Rock in America, you know, and showed it to Brad, and he came up with a bunch of stuff on it. And next thing you know, we had that song. So we had that song when we came into the studio.
She's gone.
Night Ranger with the anthem You Can Still Rock in America from 1984's Midnight Madness album. Still to come, we'll have the true story of drummer Kelly Keegi and his sister, Christy. Follow In the Studio on Facebook at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and you can hear a whole lot more right here at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard with Jack Blades of Night Ranger for the best of.
Hey, this is Jack Blades of Night Ranger in the studio for the best of Night Ranger. Here's Redbeard.
Thanks, Jack. Bottom line, was Night Ranger's exploitation of the video era just good fortune or good management? Here's my buddy Jack Blades with me in the studio.
I think we were lucky to be where we were, and I think that we just happened to have a bunch of guys that were video friendly, because it was interesting when, you know, when you first started out in this thing, all you had to be was a, you know, maybe a singer, and then you had to be, you know, you got to be a songwriter, and then you got to be a great recording artist, and then suddenly when the 80s hit, you had to be a great looking guy for TV. I mean, it was like you had to be an actor almost. I mean, everything, most of these videos turned into like we were actors, and I think we were fortunate that we were able to highlight our positives and to accentuate the things that would work and exploit them. But you know what? It had a lot to do with the fact that I'm such a Beatles fan. You know, I spent my life, you know, watching Hard Day's Night and Help about 85 million times, right? And Kelly Keegi from Night Ranger is the same way. And so in a lot of respects, we kind of like said, oh, this is great. We'll be like Help. We'll be like A Hard Day's Night. So we like acted it up a bit the way maybe John Paul, George Ringo used to do. And so maybe we hammed it up a little bit more, and that played to the cameras a bit more. And I think that it was just like natural for us because that's what we thought we were supposed to do. And I think that that worked to our advantage. Now that I think about it, now that you're asking this question that I've never even thought of in my life before, but you're right. I think that maybe because of that, I grew up watching The Monkees. You know what I mean? TV shows with a bunch of musicians that were actors. So I felt like, oh, this is what we're supposed to do because we're on MTV and we're on TV now. So this is how we're supposed to do it. And that's what I did. I followed the lead of my heroes, you know, the Beatles.
Yeah.
1984's Midnight Madness. That's Night Ranger with the Jack Blades song When You Close Your Eyes, which went all the way to number 14. Drummer-singer Kelly Kagi of Night Ranger might not be the most prolific writer, but Kelly had submitted a demo early on that would change Night Ranger's fortunes forever, according to Jack Blades.
Kelly had written the song called Sister Christy, and his sister's name is Christy. And so he had written this song called Sister Christy right when we were starting Night Ranger. And for some reason or another, we did not put it on our first album. I mean, we had the song. The song was done. The song was even demoed. But we felt like we didn't, you know, I don't know what reasons, who knows. Maybe it was fate. We held that back. And so when we came in to cut this new album, we had two what we felt were really great songs. Sister Christy, which we renamed Christian because Kelly finally wrote the words down for us. And he's like, Sister Christy. And we're like, I thought he was singing all along Sister Christian. So I said, man, you got to, wait a minute, it should be Sister Christian. That's kind of cool. You know, it has an attitude. And really? You think so? But it's not my sister's name. I said, come on, poetic license. Who cares? We should, okay. So we changed it to Sister Christian.
Sister Christian, oh, the time has come. And you know that you're the only one to say, okay. Where you going, what you looking for? You know those boys don't wanna play no more with you. It's true.
The motor. okay. But you're motoring.
From 1984's Midnight Madness album, that's Night Ranger's Sister Christian, which peaked at number 5 that summer. There are certain transcendent moments, such as when a basketball player gets in the zone and can't miss, when a baseball batter or golfer gets all of the ball in the sweet spot and takes it for a ride, when an actor delivers the playwright's line and connects with the audience. For Night Ranger, the song Sister Christian provided that moment for Jack Blades.
In the meantime, we'd filmed this video of Sister Christian at San Rafael High School, of the graduating class, and it was like a Catholic school, and these girls were graduating, and it was like, Sister Christian, your time has come. And it was really, you know, we just filmed the video. So we release it the end of April, early May. Once again, MTV starts pounding the video. This song becomes the song for every graduating class of every school practically in America in June of 1984. And all of a sudden, our shows like picked up, like suddenly if we were playing for 3,000, we were playing for 10,000. And we're like, whoa, what is going on? Everybody in every school like announcement thing, it was like, you know, song Sister Christian, you know, it's like the graduating class of 1984 in high school chose the song Sister Christian as their mascot for that year. And man, when that happened, it was like it just exploded. We went from like I said, selling 2,000 seats to selling 10,000 seats practically overnight. We went from selling 500,000 records to like 1,000,009 practically overnight.
And for the record, what exactly are the lyrics to the chorus of Sister Christian?
Boy, let's hope I get them right, huh? For $1,000,000, the real lyrics. I might have to use my lifeline. Tucker, what are the... motorin', what's your price for flight? In finding Mr. Right, you'll be all right tonight.
Okay, but some of the erroneous, garbled, butchered lyrics Jack Blades has heard fans singing earnestly at the top of their lungs in front of the stage during Sister Christian?
Motor it, don't you get it right? You and me tonight will be all right, yeah. That's about, I've seen that a few times down there. I mean, oh my gosh. One time Kelly and I walked in to, we were in Rochester, Minnesota, and the show was sold out, and we were backstage, you know, right, we had just done sound check, and we were in the food line getting some dinner before, you know, like at 6, you know, we played at 9 or something. And the lady was in the food line, and it was Rochester, Minnesota, you know, and so she's talking, she says, you know, don't you know that song Sister Christian? You know, she talked almost like she was from Canada. She said, you know, that song Sister Christian, my daughter's been listening to that one over and over. And we said, well, that's great, man. That's really good. She said, say, is that about a nun who sells dope to school kids? And Kelly and I look at each other and we go, yes, it is, ma'am. And we just walked away in the room. I mean, we're like, where did she get that? I mean, come on, man. I mean, where do these people get these ideas? I guess you can turn anything into anything, huh?
I must have been a fool.
From Night Ranger's double platinum 1985 album, Seven Wishes, that's the top 20 song, Four in the Morning, written and sung by Jack Blades. Coming up next, a heartfelt and touching admission from Jack about how rock and roll isn't all good times and fun. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and right here at InTheStudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Jack Blades and the best of Night Ranger.
Hey, this is Jack Blades of Night Ranger in the studio for the best of Night Ranger. Here's Redbeard.
Thanks again, Jack. It's true that by the time of the album's Big Life in 1987 and Man in Motion in 88, Night Ranger had been marketed by the record company as a power ballad pop band, and the band broke up in 1989. But Jack Blades of Night Ranger had seen much harder times a decade earlier and was able to keep Night Ranger's demise in perspective.
My older brother died of a drug overdose in 1977, which was a very, very sad thing. I was in Rubicon, and I had to make that phone call to my parents. I was recording in L.A., and he lived in Arizona. He lived in Tempe, Arizona, because he was going to ASU. And he was a casualty of the 70s, man. When you didn't know back then when somebody was really getting crazy and getting way outside on drugs and alcohol, it wasn't like the normal thing of like, well, check you into a rehab. Back then it was like, hey, man, you ought to cut that out, man. That's like, this is going to, you know, you're getting out of control, man. You ought to stop that. There wasn't that whole thing of like, look, let's get you into rehab and clean this act up. And unfortunately, I lost my brother. He was my only brother. And it really sort of deeply affected me. In fact, the song Goodbye, the Night Ranger tune Goodbye, all the lyrics, you know, I wrote that whole song about the fact that I really never said goodbye to my brother.
Never close, never far, always there when I need.
What a great song. From Night Ranger, written by Jack Blaze, that's called Goodbye. In 1996, the five original members of Night Ranger reunited and actually stayed together touring around the world with only one exception, longer than their initial run in the 80s. I asked Jack Blades what was different for Night Ranger the second time around.
We didn't have as many blow dealers around us at that time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can remember these guys' names, like Snowball, Shoebox, you know, Sparkle. I mean, all these guys were, I'm telling you, Beard, it was a pretty wild time. But I think that the second time around, everyone was a little bit like, let's just go out. And everybody was pretty healthy. Everybody was like, you know, wanted to stay in good shape. You know, everybody wanted to, like, just, you know, kind of do, you know, play. And actually, I felt that the band really actually played better the second time around because, you know, people were just really focused. You know, everyone was focused on their craft, you know. And plus, what, you know, another thing is we didn't have anything to really prove when we went out to, you know, the second time around. It wasn't that big pressure of, like, you got to have a hit song, you know, like it was. I mean, you know, right after we did Don't Tell Me You Love Me, and then we did Sister Christian and Rockin' America, and it was like, okay, then you got to have another hit, and then it was like Sentimental Street, and then When You Close Your Eyes, and it's like hit. Actually, When You Close Your Eyes was earlier, but anyway, it was just, there was that intense pressure, I guess, that you have to, you know, you have to compete and have a, you know, have a hit record. And I think at that stage of the game, everyone just wanted to go out and just play and have a great time. And that's kind of what we did.
Hey, hey! you're going to hear from me. I've got written down here, with apologies to Gary Glitter, shouldn't this be subtitled Rock and Roll Part 3?
Part 3, right. I've just always loved that drum beat. It reminds me of everything that's great about rock and roll. Just something exciting, something up, something to get people going. I mean, and the whole idea of Night Ranger being, you know, coming back, and it's like, hey, man, you're going to hear from me. I mean, people have, like, I've talked to Ted Nugent a lot about this. I mean, we'd always laugh because people wrote Ted off in 1975, you know,
yes.
After the Amboy Dukes.
Yes, they did.
You know Redbeard. I mean, people would write, which Ted loves, okay, by the way. I don't know, like they get this idea that you're just going to, you know, you're a musician and you've had your like day at the fair, and you're supposed to just disappear and just go away. And see, that's not me, man. I mean, like, I've chosen as my craft musician. I'm an artist. I'm a musician. I'll play until the day I die. This is what I do. And I I'll be damned if somebody's going to tell me suddenly that I shouldn't be doing it anymore or anything like that. I mean, and that's what Night Ranger is all about right now. I mean, here we started out in 1980. I mean, our first record was, I think, the end of 1982, Dawn Patrol. And here we are talking about it, releasing another record. Quick, how many years is that? I'm a bad counter, but it's a long time.
It's a long time.
And you know what? It's going to keep being, you know, it's going to keep going because new music, material, I mean, this is what we are. We're artists. We're musicians.
Sister Christian, know the time has come. And you know that you're the only one to say, okay, where you going, what you looking for? You know those boys don't wanna play no more with you. It's true. In life, don't you give it up before your time is due. I think it's true, and I know it's true, baby. It's true.
Your side. Sister Christian, know the time has come. And you know you're the only one to say, okay. Put your motor in.
Night Ranger is motoring to play this Friday at Peppermill Hotel and Casino in West Wendover, Nevada, Saturday at Cactus Pete's Resort Casino in Jackpot, Nevada, then December 27th at the Hard Rock Casino in Northfield, Ohio, and the 28th, see Night Ranger at the Soaring Eagle Casino in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. This is Redbeard in the studio thanking my guest, Jack Blades of Night Ranger. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2013, all rights reserved, transcription by Jane Carpenter Brunet, theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and for much more from the biggest names in rock, stay here at InTheStudio.net.